Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, even though the stream doesn't work and the website hasn't been up for weeks. And I've been getting offers from, like, every other alternative network that I can name to come on their network, and I keep saying no, because it's like, look, bro, we'll get stuff sorted eventually here. I hope. If nothing gets sorted, I don't know what I'll do. I haven't thought of it. But anyway, I've got this idea, right, that everything's pretty fracked, you know? Does anybody else share this idea? Of course you do. Otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this particular broadcast, because it is pretty messed up. I've got this real aversion to anything that comes out of officialdom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that it's a perfectly reasonable aversion to everything official. Okay? Let's take chemotherapy, for example. This from undergroundhealth.com. Scientists make another obvious discovery. Chemo causes cancer. you know, it's just that funny, isn't it? It's just like I tell people. Whatever they tell you is the exact opposite. The exact opposite. Okay? It's just not possible. Now, what I want to talk about is this article here. But if you'll excuse me, I'm extremely tired. I only just got had a couple of late nights up working, so I'm not quite with it. Don't even have a guest organized, so. Okay, so let's continue on with this article. Scientists at the Fred Hutchinson Center, Research Center. Oh, sorry. Again, can't concentrate. Scientists at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle have made a, quote, new and completely surprising discovery. Chemotherapy used to treat cancer patients can actually cause cancer. Our results indicate that damage responses in benign cells may directly contribute to enhanced tumor growth kinetics, the team wrote. This is an important blow to dangerous, ineffective cancer treatments and a good step forward for alternative medicine, i.e. natural medicine. It's not alternative. Look, does anybody know how mainstream pharmaceutical kind of medicine started? I think it was started by, like, the Rockefellers or something like that. They got into oil back in the day, and they had all this waste product that they couldn't use because it was, like, poison and caused death and contamination and stuff everywhere. And so they got into the pharmaceutical industry and put all that waste oil products into all the drugs and then just made people eat it. I'm not making it up. This is the origins of things are quite funny, you know, like Wolverine. Why did such an obvious discovery take so long? Because they get you like 50 G's, baby! Every single time you prescribe a round of freaking chemo in New Zealand, you get 50 G's. There was some dude in the United States, I think it might have been in Maryland or something, who prescribed like $30 million worth of chemotherapy to patients who didn't have cancer. It's probably good because now they still don't have cancer. No, I'll just strike that, reverse it. it's a mystery why it's taken scientists decades to discover what common sense would dictate from the beginning. Chemotherapy kills healthy cells. Well, of course, it's poison. Here's how chemotherapy works. Normally, cells divide and make exact copies of themselves, right? Exact copies. And this repeats until the necessary cells have been produced. And in cancer, cells continue reproducing again and again until there are just too many cells. These cells eventually build up into a tumor. Chemotherapy attacks reproducing cells, healthy and cancerous. Chemo doesn't discriminate. It destroys. And of course, this hasn't been a secret from medical professionals at all. just read their own website, accordingtocancer.org. Accordingtocancer.org? Yeah, like cancer wrote a book, bro, you know? Cancer just sitting down there, you know, with like a quill pen and a small candle, doing these manuscripts in the dark middle of the night. Some kind of evil, I don't know, Dracula-like fortress or something of that nature, you know, accordingtocancer.org. That's the image I get. Anyway, chemotherapy drugs cannot tell the difference between reproducing cells of normal issues, those that are replacing worn-out normal cells, and cancer cells. This means normal cells are damaged, and this results in side effects. Now, when people say side effects, you just remember one thing. Cut out the word side, and then just think, oh, it's the effects. It's the effects of the drug. Imagine for a moment that all of these quote-unquote side effects were actually planned effects that are there for a specific reason. That sounds really, really terrifying, doesn't it? Again, this is further evidence even big medicine has known just how deadly chemo is, and yet it's still the top treatment for cancer! The Australian Medical Society, or whatever they're called, I think it was in 1997, or was it somewhere around there, I think, they said chemotherapy killed 97% of their patients. Okay? I don't know of a single bioweapon that has a 97% kill rate. Mostly because bioweapons get released, and it's kind of like pick and miss whether or not you get infected. And then it's kind of pick and miss because you can do things like help your immune system and what have you. You might be able to survive the said bioweapon attack. SARS, what have you. But chemotherapy, on the other hand, there's no escape from it. That's why they managed to kill 97% of the people who go on it. They charge you 50 Gs for each round. You know. These people are evil, man. Chemotherapy is like... Okay, I'm just going to come out and say it. You know. In my opinion, chemotherapy is an evil thing. It's an evil thing. I just, you know, I'm realizing just how the controversy of that statement, just at making it, and there'll be a whole bunch of ex-cancer sufferers who survived the chemo and come out and go, oh, I'm sick of chemo, saved my life. Really? Really? Did it? Did you eat or drink while you were doing the chemo? Yeah, well, that's what saved your life more than the chemo did, lady. Shush. Jeff. Shush. Okay. What other kind of stuff do they, what other kind of stuff are they using here? Natural alternatives to chemotherapy. So here's where we go. It's a wonder why scientists continue to use such a painful, marginally effective and potentially deadly treatment like chemotherapy when natural medicine has had cancer treatment solutions since the beginning. Since the beginning! The beginning! Since way, way back in the day. They've been curing cancer all left, right and frickin' center. I had Rick Simpson on the show was a couple of weeks ago, I think. Yeah. Weed! Weed, man! Just get some weed oil, and you're sweet. It doesn't matter what kind of cancer it is. Whether it's colon cancer, breast cancer, pancreatic, whatever. It'll suss you out. Now, of course, I'm not a medical doctor. Cannot give medical advice. And you have to follow the instructions of your doctor, so says the doctors, who instruct you to follow their advice. It's just, I love the hypocrisy of it. Other people who aren't medical doctors cannot give medical advice. Only medical doctors can give medical advice because only medical doctors kill about 50% of the patients that they see. You know, it's not that they kill 50% of the patients. That's an exaggeration. But then again, thinking about it, maybe it's not. It might actually be. There's a lot of unreported cases out there. I'll say that much. All right. Now, can we talk about cancer cures? Cancer cures for a bit? It's pretty straightforward. All right. There's a whole bunch of them. All right. There's foods. Okay? If you're eating shockingly large amount of leafy green vegetables and what have you, ain't got no cancer. That happened to my friend Vapi Kupinger. She just passed away last week, but I think about 5 years ago she got cancer and then just did, you know, heaps of leafy green vegetables and what have you. And even at the age of 80 plus, she's fine. You know, beat it. Beat it down. Hands down. Leafy green vegetables out of her garden. No problem. Cancer. Gone. Vitamin B17. Alright. And vitamin C as well. These things are pretty amazing. The body, if it's got the right vitamins flowing through its system, it turns your immune system into a murderous rampage, more or less. All right, it's a viricide. Vitamin C is, at least. You put a virus in a vial. It's a vitamin C. The virus is wiped out instantly. Okay, it's what works. We had Alan Smith here in New Zealand who did a 60 minute special called. Oh, the name escapes me. What was that? Living Proof. Living Proof, yeah. And he survived swine flu. One of the worst cases New Zealand's ever seen. It's like the dude was on an ECMO machine. You couldn't even see his lungs in the X-ray. All right? And hairy cell leukemia. Gave him a couple of frickin' high doses of vitamin C. Dude's no longer on ECMO. Dude no longer has hairy cell leukemia. You can see his lungs, and he's walking around healthy as an ox. All right? Bam! Just like that. And, you know, think about this. How cheap is vitamin C? It's cheap as chips. No wonder they want to keep it out of the medical regimen. They had to fight tooth and nail in order to get Auckland Hospital to give Alan Smith intravenous vitamin C. But, like, they actually had to get Mei Wang, one of the best lawyers in the country, to force them to give... I just love the idea of getting a lawyer to force a doctor to give a patient a vitamin. if that's not like one of the most encapsulating reasons why the medical industry is full of murderers, I don't know what is. And I'm not kidding, by the way. Who was it? I think it was Dr. Bill Deagle who told me, if you have the letters MD... after your name, you are 11 times more likely to be a serial killer. Ponder that for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Next time you're going in to get your little checkup and what have you, just think for a moment. This person could quite likely be a serial killer, and I might be his next victim. He's trying to prescribe me chemotherapy. Jesus, I am going to be his next victim. You know, it's unbelievable. Now, herbs, spices, these kind of things, you know, like turmeric or rosemary, garlic, ginger, you know, just general spices and what have you. They've proven anti-cancer effects, you know. Cancer's not that hard to beat. The problem is the scumbags who cause all the frickin' cancer with all their carcinogens and the frickin' food supply never get brought to justice. And of course, all the cures get suppressed. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Truth. It's a very, very hard commodity to find. Hard won and hard earned. Sometimes with your life, sometimes with your blood. And let's think about the importance of truth. You know, think about that real, awesome word. That great word. That thing that embodies that which cannot be disproved. that which is solid, that which you can indeed build your house upon, that won't be washed away like the sands of a shore. Truth. And there's another two great words that I was thinking about late into the night when I was editing. As you do. Is this word coupling moral obligation. Oh, just listen to that again. And really, really concentrate. I mean, if you can close your eyes or something, just think about this. Moral obligation. What does it mean to you? Do you even have morals that oblige you, that compel you, that force you to do things? There's a whole lot of things that you have a moral obligation to. The truth is only one of them. You have a moral obligation to think for yourself. A moral obligation to look into things from time to time if they're important and you don't quite understand them yet. You don't have to do it all at once. But at the end of the day, you can't live your life in delusion because you resisted your moral obligation to know the truth about things. Right. Now think about this. I've got this great picture on Facebook. It's a they said, but the truth is, you know, two columns, A column, B column. First column, they said the sun will give you cancer. Second column, but the truth is, exposure to the sun generates vitamin D, which will protect you from cancer. Studies have proven this. You need exactly 30 minutes in the sun per day, minimum. Or otherwise, you start to kind of die. This is what they do with prisoners in order to punish them, is deprive them of sunlight for days and days and days and days. It absolutely destroys you. And of course, naturally, these things like the Cancer Society start pumping out sunscreen to protect you from this all-dangerous sun. They said sunscreen protects you from cancer. But the truth is, sunscreen contains chemicals that actually give your skin cancer. They've got like nanoparticles of aluminium in this, I've been led to believe. And the particles are so small that they actually make it through the pores in your skin. And so you've got aluminium in your bloodstream. That can't be good for you. Alright, it might be good for containing a can of Coke. But, you know, no longer. And I was just thinking about this the other day. Somebody told me that in the 70s, everything was in glass. You couldn't find anything in a can or in a plastic bottle, probably. But the elite want BPA and contaminants and all of this kind of stuff all in your food and drink supply. So they start having cans that are lined with BPA sealant to put in all your beer and all your beverages and what have you. And then they start giving you plastic BPA-containing bottles. Mm-hmm. So that's good for you. They're really looking out for your anti-cancer properties, and they certainly care about the huge, massive, extortionate quantity of waste that is piling up. You know, we're talking about sunscreen protects you from cancer, right? My goodness. How much landfill is there going? Right? I went to the tip the other day. I was helping the soon-to-be parents-in-law throw away a few things at the tip. It's just this massive pit with all of these people turning up trucks, trailers, varying sizes and density. As we were leaving, there was like a... It must have been like an 18-wheeler or something, man. It was huge. it was like 7 car lengths or something, easy, all full of rubbish just going into landfill. And apparently that thing runs 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And that's just one. In one particular Auckland suburb. Holy cow. Where is all this stuff? Can you see it from freaking space? How much are we polluting up this planet out there? All the while being afraid to go out in the sun. So we can see what the frack is even going on. So we can see that there's giant piles of garbage that are capable of reaching the freaking clouds being accumulated in major cities around this world every day. Every day. Where is all that stuff going? Planet's not that freaking big. You know? Can't freaking deal with this. When people talk about sustainable development, all I hear is Agenda 21. And then I think about real environmentalism. Real environmentalism says, hey, that's all toxins and chemicals and crap, and there's plenty of usable, cheap alternatives to that that don't do such damage and wreak such havoc. And the ones that are currently in now were all just put there by the elite so that they could contaminate us. And they contaminate the planet in the process. You just think about this mentality. You know, let's imagine for a moment that you were a criminal sociopath. And you had, $7 trillion. It means you literally have enough sway to make massive moves on the global board. You have enough money to bribe every politician in every parliament in the whole world forever. Just think about it. It's actually not as expensive as you think. All right? I think somebody said that Congress, they figured it would cost about maybe $30 million a year to bribe the whole of Congress. That's chip change to somebody who's got $7 trillion. All right, that's $1,000 billion. And $1 billion's $1,000 million. You're talking about just $30 million. It's nothing. You know, the whole world stitched up. What would you do? Now have a look at what these people have done. Just freaking look in any direction. I see low quality crap in every direction that I see. I see manufactured poisons and bioweapons and your comestible products. I see rubbish television. I see a dumbing down society. I see a vacuous, shallow, vain society, deprived of any real substance, deprived of any true contact with the land, the sea, with the air, and the creatures that live in all of three. That detachment from the natural realm, which we all have as a natural part of being in a city, I think is partly what's killing us. We don't see the consequences of our actions like somebody on the land would do. My sister's kind of like marrying a farmer, right? And he's a good bloke. All right, now here's the thing that's ingenious about farmers. Think about any problem that could go wrong on a farm. A farmer has to be able to fix it. Alright, doesn't matter whether it's a freaking tractor, electric fence, cows, horses, etc. Doesn't matter what kind of animal it is, he's got to know, like, basic vet stuff about it, really. They're pretty clued up people, actually. It's the whole reason why people claim that America was, like,
built on the backs of farmers? It's because farmers can take a hell of a lot on the back. You know, most people can't frickin' work 7 days a week getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to milk the cows. They can't be bothered. Farmers can. They're strong people, mate. And these are the kind of people that are being forced off the land and being forced into the cities to become domesticated, easily coerced and brainwashed slaves like the rest of us. You see? If you're a criminal psychopath, and you have $7 trillion and you can't control the world or whatever, frack. Why wouldn't you? Alright? You want to stamp out any form of independence. Anything that could ever rise to challenge you. Hey, there's people that are breeding and stuff like that. We're going to get that population under control there. Why don't we just put a whole bunch of sterilants in damn near everything everybody eats or drinks? Yeah. That'll bring that birth rate down from, I don't know, like the average of 6 or 7 kids to an average of like 1. You know? We're drowning in our own extinction here because a whole bunch of criminal psychopaths have assumed control of our supply of everything, and it's steadily stamping out the very last vestiges of any form of independence in our lives. You know? That's the last thing that will go, is people's independence. As soon as you can't go where you want to go, as soon as you got to ask somebody's permissions first, boom. You're in a police state. And there ain't no ifs or buts or maybes about it. And the thing is, it's been happening behind the scenes the whole time. It's probably happening right now. All communications. This isn't paranoia. This is admitted government documents. All communications are surveilled and kept records on. Even the phone companies in New Zealand here have to keep, I think, up to 1 year's records on every new number. Wow. So they're really... nothing you say is private, folks. Nothing. I say stop pretending that it's private. I say hello once in a while. We have stories all the time that people in various fields have told me and others about the clicks on the phones. Sometimes they even give you little signs to know that they're there, you know, to agree with something you've said. Like if you acknowledge them and compliment them and say, you know, I know that you've... you think you're helping the country by surveilling people, all right? So you know there's something good in you at least. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's a sweet dream. It's a happy day, and it is the summertime. And we're doing the old summer schedule down here, and it is nice and fabulous, and hoping to keep you all in the Northern Hemisphere. We're experiencing fog snow, otherwise known as frog, a little bit warmer. Now, more lies. They said terrorism is a major threat, but the truth is Al-Qaeda is the CIA, and your government is the major threat. Yeah, and statistically that's proven as well. You know, what's more likely to kill you? I mean, 20th century, for example. You know, your own government is far, far more likely to kill you than any other factor. Right, I was going to say something like 250 million, you know. It was a ridiculous amount of people anyway that got slaughtered by their own government in the last century. Frack me, so silly and sideways. Just think about all that death. You ever seen The Killing Fields, man? You know? It's just thousands and a million people just strewn out, just dead and rotting in these big fields. Holy cow, man! You know, could you imagine what it's like stumbling across that? That to know that human beings just executed all of these perfectly innocent people and then just left them in a field for the birds to eat? dragged them all the way over there, you know, my trucks, just piles of them, just dragging them off, you know. They empty it as though one would a truck of sand. Having that much compassion for your fellow man who you just brutally murdered. That is the state. That is the cold, calculating hand of the state. Which is connected to the wrist bone of the elite and the banking cartels and so on and so forth. Wind up dictating what your state's policy is going to wind up being. So why wouldn't they use Al-Qaeda, a little group that they created back in the 80s in order to kill the Russians in Afghanistan? I mean, why wouldn't they? Create a database and sure enough you begin to understand that, hey, if you want to get anything done in this world, you need an enormous crisis, don't you? You know? Seriously, think about it. Think of all the major decisions people have ever made, whether it be public policy or their own personal life, things that they ordinarily would not have done had there not been an enormous crisis looming ahead of them. So, it's that easy to manipulate you. The elite know about this. And they're great at causing crises. What do you need to do to cause a crisis? Frack something up monstrumentally. We're the elite. We can do that easy. I mean, just look at the planet. You know, it's just that easy for them. And then everywhere goes, oh no, there's some kind of a crisis or whatever. Oh look, look, the government who's supposed to protect us and stuff like that, or at least they teach us that in the public schools that they force us to go to, that they're there to protect us and to help us and to help us to think for ourselves and live better lives while they cane us. You know, they'll surely have some kind of a solution to this massive problem that I'm sure that they were in no way involved in orchestrating themselves, and will just wind up benefiting me, the person who's up getting fracked over by this crisis. And it won't actually just benefit them, the people who actually manufactured the crisis in the first place in order to propose the solutions. That'll never happen. That just doesn't make logical sense. Yes, that's right. That's the thinking process. Now you realize there is nothing. There is no reason at all to trust your government. Okay, if somebody's lying to you, for example, and you know that they're a liar, why would you continue to trust them when they're a known liar? There's an old saying, you can trust a thief, but you can't trust a liar. Now, I would say that our addiction to government is due to the safety factor. We think our government can keep us safe. The government can't keep you safe. All right. You want to argue with me? Here's a scenario for you. A couple of thug gang members or something, whatever, armed with knives and a pipe and a gun, bust through your front door while you and your family are sitting there watching TV, virgin your undergarments. How's the government going to help you? Here's how you could help yourself. You pull the 9mm out of the drawer and you fire a few shots. Those gang members start running like crazy. No person who's out to have a good time and torture people and what have you wants to put their own life at risk in order to do so, right? And that's statistically what happens in gun-related incidents in the United States as well. You have something like 200,000 crimes being prevented per year by somebody drawing out a gun. All right, that's rapes, that's thefts, that's murders, that's X amount of reasons why people just suddenly stop what they're doing and either run away or put their hands up and then wind up being held by the person at gunpoint until the cops arrive. Okay? Government don't save you. You save yourself if you take personal responsibility. Oh, that are you, you know, you could learn martial arts or whatever, but the thing is, it doesn't matter how good you are at martial arts if somebody else has a gun. Alright, now, in an ideal world, nobody would need to be armed. Right, nobody. But, we don't live in an ideal world. We live in one controlled by the elite. So naturally they pass gun ban laws, and soon after the gun ban laws are passed, all the murderers and thieves and rapists and what have you realise that nobody's going to shoot them, and the murder rate escalates dramatically. In every single case. Okay, if you want to argue with me on that, please provide me the statistical evidence. Provide me just one example. Just one. Just one is all I'm asking for. I've looked, I can't find it. Where a gun ban is passed and the people weren't subsequently murdered quicker or exterminated by their government. Alright? Think about that. That's what gun bans lead to in all cases that I've seen in history. And even today, people get disarmed, they start getting murdered more frequently, and then usually the government is planning to ban the guns because it doesn't want an armed uprising on its hands when it brutally takes you all over and ruthlessly exterminates you. Khmer Rouge knew that, Stalin knew that, Hitler knew that, Mao knew that. Even Edward the Longshanks, when he took over Scotland, knew that. Okay? You take the weapons off of the people that you're going to kill and enslave, because otherwise they can resist you. It's not freaking rocket science. And then people are like, oh, but there'll be all the accidents. Of course, accidents always happen. And there's ways to minimise risk. And right now we've got like draconian risk management systems. You know, you have to have a safe bolted to the floor and wall in your flat. All right? In order to have any firearms. It's over the top. Okay? I remember, you know, people in the States, they got just, you know, handguns and shoeboxes and bedside tables and all of this kind of stuff. Not New Zealand, mate. We got guns locked up good and tight and proper and what have you. You know, and most of the gun owners are just like, you know, use them for hunting or target practice or whatever. I don't understand the gun culture in New Zealand too well. I know a few people in it who have got reasonable good connections within the culture here, you know? They're all very, very overly cautious people, unsurprisingly. We'll be right back.